We're going to talk about rising above today. I didn't know there's two titles for this message. Rising above is what you'll have up there, but being the best goes with it. Determined to rise above and determine in your heart, I'm going to be the best. I'm going to be the best I can be and the best I can do with whatever I have, wherever I'm at. And that's what we're supposed to do. I work with, I see just far too many people and work with them all the time during the week and things that you never hear about and know about. But, and I can't get them to rise above. It's like they've settled for just being mediocre, average, or below average all their lives. And to challenge them with, hey, you can do better. You can become somebody. You can really let God work in you, a great work. If you know, and it's, I don't know, I didn't get an education, or I didn't finish this, I didn't do it. It's like, so, did Peter go to college? You know, did he go to Fisherman's University? I mean, really, think about the people that Jesus picked for his 12, and they would not have been the ones you would have picked. And just don't pick, you know, tough old fishermen and Andrew and all these people. I mean, you know, Matthew's a tax collector and Luke's a physician. But out of all that, the rest of them are just hardcore, rough bunch of people. And look what he did with them. And we just think, man, God can use anybody. And so just with the title alone, you know, when are you going to decide to rise above? You know, what is it that you're allowing in your life that keeps you down? You know, think about it. What do you keep going back to and you're just messing up your life from being the best? This is Father's Day, and I generally preach, I teach more than I preach, really. I try to teach this word, and practical application's big to me. You know, what good is it if nobody tells you how to use it? How does this work? So I don't have a specific Father's Day message, but it's something, because I want us all to get something out of any message. But it's sure something to think about, and I will say this, and I don't know how to go about this except in my own individual ways when it comes to the dad thing today. But there's just a lot, and I'm trying to be figuring out how to phrase this just right as we get into this rising above and being the best. There's just so many guys today, I want to say to them, you know, son, you know, you really are going to, you know, you're going to have to grow up and quit looking for some gal to take care of you and quit depending on your mama the rest of your life and get out there and stand on your own two feet and be a man. And I know that sounds harsh, but it's the God's truth. And I look at these guys, and it's like you're more worried about your little skinny britches than you are about, you know, your manhood. And that's not a slap against that. And I sometimes think, yeah, I wish I was that slender where I could wear those. And I only knock it because I can't wear it. You know, I never was a skinny britches type guy since I was a little kid. And we always knock the things that we can't do, you know, so I get a pleasure out of that. But really, I tell them, I see them more concerned about their little hairdos. And I was talking to some people the other day, and they're talking about all the guys that come in. And if you do this, I don't care. It just tied into the whole thing and how concerned they were about their manicures and this lady in the manicure place. I didn't go there, you can obviously tell. But anyway, but she's just saying, and all these young guys come in, and they're more concerned about their manicure than they are anything else. And if you get a manicure, I could use one, I'm sure. But I do a pretty good job with those hedge clippers, and you know, it works all right. And anyway, but it's like, guys, when are you gonna realize in life that it's not somebody giving to you, taking care of you, but instead it's you giving and taking care of others? You know, the essence of a man is not being Arnold Schwarzenegger or Rocky or, you know, one of those guys. But I tell you what it is, it's that willingness to stand up there in the gap and take care of another person, to put yourself on the line for the betterment of others, to stand up and say, you're not teaching my kid that crud at school anymore. There are some dads who need to be able to stand up together and say, my child is not going to be taught critical race theory. And I don't want them exposed to, no, we're not going to look at alternate lifestyles. I want my kid to be able to read and write when they graduate from school. I'm serious to God. And it's time Christians, I'm talking Christian men and Christian women, stand up. And let's start taking things by the horns and saying, we've had enough. And this is you stepped on us, you took God out of everything. So when you took God away from these kids in the school, what did you give them? Marxism? Socialism? And you want to know why they kill each other? So, and I should be over there in my soapbox, but it's really not a soapbox issue. It's rising above. And so here's what he says. Look, and this is in 1 Peter chapter 3. And he lays it just a couple of verses today, but he put some things out there. They said, this is what, if you're going to have a church, a good church, a great church, and who is the church? You are. I am. We are the church, not this building. But if you're going to have a place where you assemble together and call it the meeting of the church, there's going to have to be some things that everybody shares in common. And so we're going to look at those things and being strong and doing what God's called you to do. I realize that God is working on me. I wouldn't be saying these things. He's working on me, and I can tell. And it's like, what's another move you're going to have to make here in your heart, son? I mean, what am I going to have to do? Are you wanting me to begin something, teaching men, teaching women, whatever, people to stand up and do what God says to do instead of what the world says to do or the government says to do? You know, it's right here, and we have to decide: am I gonna be the book, or am I gonna be the world? So let's look at what is written here in 1 Peter chapter 3, and then we'll break it down, and we'll just go kind of word by word, verse by verse, just two verses anyway. It says, "Finally," this is a New Living Translation, beginning with verse 8 of chapter 3. Finally, all of you should be of one mind. This has caused, heart conditions for people. I've had people rear up on that one statement right there. All of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tenderhearted and keep humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. Read the rest of it. I'll probably bring another message from the latter part of this anyway. But read before and read after for the sake of time and just condensing this and putting this where we can, where this is enough for one day. So let's take this and break it apart. And listen, and this is kind of what I begin this with, and I know it seemed like, is he on a tangent? No, I'm trying to tie this in. Be of one mind. And people have had problems with this, and I know a lot of you have gone, you go to Bible studies and do that kind of thing, but what that literally means is, and it isn't, and I've had so many, I have had people come right at me right after bringing a message on this subject right here and say, now, you know, there's no way, and listen, when he says be of one mind, it doesn't mean that we all conform to the same clothes. We don't do everything the same. We don't eat the same way. We don't have to act the same way. We don't have to speak the same way. That's not what he's saying. But I'll tell you what he is saying. Be of one mind, literally in the Greek when he wrote this, was have the same goals that God has. Be on the same path that God has for everybody. And so if anybody ever questions you on that, say, we can't be of the same mind. And by the way, generally the people I found that have argued with me on this and get upset when you bring this message, be of the same mind, they're people who have another agenda for the church. and they want their way implemented, and so they get upset when you preach the Word of God and say we all have to be of one mind, you know, pursuing the same goals. And usually the folks that get upset are the people that have another agenda for you. But being of one mind means you can dress like you want to. That's not what it's saying. And I, there's churches or denominations say we all dress alike. We all wear hair the same way. We all do this. I'd go crazy in a place like that. I can't conform. I've never been able to do that kind of stuff, you know. It's hard enough to just do what God wants you to do, much less what a bunch of people want you to do. And if they were started saying to me, which they've tried in the past, you know, you need to comb your hair this way or that way, and you need to do this and do that. Well, they've lost me. But when you say to me, well, Tony, you've got to be of one mind, meaning Jesus went out there and here's what he said one mind is. One mind is in Matthew 28, and that's to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we preach the gospel not just with our words, but with our attitude and with our lifestyle. That's what we're to be of one mind about. That's what Christianity is. That's our Christian goal. That's our mission. Is today, God, every Sunday, when you come, we meet together to honor and glorify God. And it's also to receive his word, to heal us, to encourage us, to convict us. But to give us strength to go out and do what? To take the gospel, to take Jesus to the world. In whatever way you're gifted to do that. Everybody does it different. And so being of one mind doesn't mean we conform to some outward thing. I've had people say, oh, Tony, we got it. We're not of one mind here. Why? Because you don't do the Lord's Supper right. Okay, well, what's the right way to do it? And then I'm told the right way to do it. You need to do this and need to do that. And it's like, and if I do it that way, then I'm going to have six others come over here and tell me I just did it wrong. And so it's like, well, what's the answer? I'm going to do it the way God leads me to do. And that's what you need to do in your life. Except that I can't do it in violation of the mission. The mission is to go into all the world and make disciples. And what does that mean? I have a responsibility, and so do you, that regardless of whether we agree or disagree on how to do the Lord's Supper, our baptism, or what color the tablecloth should be, or how short my hair should be. I got a real close haircut this time. I know a bunch of you have noticed, and let me tell you why I did it. I usually keep my hair a little, it just doesn't matter, but it has in other churches. You never really worry about it. But I noticed that, boy, that's a really short. I wanted my hair shorter. If I have to lay in that hospital bed for 3 to 5 days, I wanted my hair shorter. And so I told that girl, she doesn't like to do it. She does a really good job there in Kerrville. And I said, I need you to really shorten it. And then, of course, there was that, why? I said, because I'm going to have the thing done here, and I don't know if I'm going to be in the hospital or not, but if I am, I'm not going to lie there with hair sticking in my ear and bugging me and can't take a shower and can't wash my hair. I said, cut that stuff short, and I will all live. And so she did, so that's what happened. And it's just like that, but I have been in places where there was regulations about how it had to be. Yes, in churches. And you have to have it this way and that way, and all this. That, friends, is nothing but religion. That's not Christianity. Being of one mind doesn't mean that we look at everything the same way. Some of you like a certain type of Bible and over another, one translation. I use all kinds to get exposure to different translations and whichever reads best. But there's some of you who wouldn't put down your New King James for nothing, or your New International, or New Century Bible, or, you know, there's tons of them, whatever it is. And New American Standard is a good one. I never mention it. I'm going to use it here in the future, though. I do a lot of studying out of the New American Standard, and it's like, it's a good translation. And if it works for you, it works. But that's not what being of one mind is. Here's what it means. Let's break down what the Lord said to do. Number one, being of one mind means we go out and witness/preach the gospel to all people. Whatever that is for you. It may be that you just listen to people. It may be that you're one of those. And there are some of you in here, you don't know what a stranger is. Everywhere you go, whether it's at the gas pump, you're in HEB down here, your Walmart, wherever you are, and you talk to everybody around, you never get your shopping done because you're talking to everybody. There's some of you like that. There's others of you, who hope to God you can go to the grocery store and not have to speak a word to anybody. And that's just you. But let me tell you something. You may be the quietest person around. That's mostly introverts. And you may be the most introverted person, and it's not your style to go talking to everybody. Do you know what you can do? And let me lay this on you, because it's a tremendous witness here, and it shows Christ is really alive in you. If you're not a talker, we're not going to try to make you one, because you got to be who God made you to be. But you can have that expression and that smile, that persona, and that letting the Holy Spirit control you. You can have a quiet demeanor that impacts people everywhere you go with confidence, assurance, security. They realize something powerful is here. You don't have to say a word in a lot of situations for Jesus Christ to do all the talking. If you just yield yourself to Him and let Him use you. Sometimes not saying a word and just letting Jesus with His power of His Spirit flow through you is more effective than anything you could possibly do. So when we talk about this one mind, number one, go out and witness. Two, teach them. Teach people what Jesus has commanded in His Word. That's our response, mine certainly, but all of ours. Teach the Word of God. How do you do that? Share it. Study it. I hear some of you going to Bible studies. Good for you. But be sure your Bible study is by the book, and that's all I'll say. And then teach that. Share that Word with others. Just sit down with people and just share what it says. Teach them. Teach other Christians. Care about them. Thirdly, we're to baptize them. Name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We do that. I'm waiting to baptize some more. If any of you haven't been baptized, let us know. This is a good, warm time to do it. We do it right out there in that courtyard. And, of course, if you want to be baptized somewhere else, well, I'll meet you there and do that too. But we can do it right out here. It's a pretty area to do it. But baptize them. Name the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Here's the catch on that. The first two things have to happen first. We have to witness to them. And they have to be taught Jesus, and they have to accept Him in their heart, or baptism's useless. So that's why we all work together doing what we're called to do. Fourthly, we're to love God with all of our heart. Now, this isn't so much in the Great Commission as it surrounds everything in Scripture. To love the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and we're to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So if you want to be of one mind, God wants everybody in this place to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, whether you dress up all the time or you dress down, or whether your hair is short or long or what, it doesn't make any difference. What makes the difference is, do you love the Lord with all your heart? Can people see that? And then to love your neighbor as yourself. And then you give it everything you've got to keep Jesus' word, keep His commandments. And when you blow it, you admit it. I've said this before. Listen to me. A good part of my Christian life, or the early part to the middle part of my Christian adventure, was, and I guess you just catch it, or it's taught to you, where you're supposed to walk the walk and play the role and do all this stuff. It was more of the outward thing and in trying to impress people with what was on the outside. And then there came a place of breaking and then a rebuilding of the Lord where it was like, forget the outward stuff, son. I want you in a place to where people can see you're a confessional man. And I challenge you today to be a confessional man, a confessional woman. What does that mean? Before, I used to cover up. You pretended you didn't have this stuff. You had to preach it in such a way that it sounded like you had it whipped. No, what God has had to teach me the hard way through many, many breaking experiences is this. One of the greatest witnesses you will ever have is when you blow it, make a mistake, fall flat on your face, and you can look up at somebody and say, forgive me, I failed. That's Christianity. That's humility in the heart. We're so, we've been taught, and I was too, went to seminary and did all this stuff, and was taught, you know, your people need to see you as above this. Are you kidding me? You know who you need to see above this? It's Jesus Christ. And you need to see in me that God can take an ordinary human being, a man out of the country out there, and then put him up here to be his under-shepherd. And if God can do it with me, that's the whole message. He can do it with any of you. And it's not pretend, it's not playing games, it's just being real. And if you cuss, you blow it, your temper gets out of whack, what are you supposed to do? Make excuses? That's what too many Christians do. They make an excuse for everything wrong in their life instead of standing up and saying, and bite the bullet and say, I blew it, I said it, I did it, nobody's fault but mine. Forgive me. People will love you for it. If they're mad, they'll get over it. It's when we try to make excuses and blame everybody else. And that's not what God, and some of us even blame God all the time. It's his fault. I've wanted to do that myself a few times. But it's not. So all of you talkers out there, start talking. All of you givers, start giving. And all of you teachers, start teaching. And all of you servants, start serving. And all of you organizers, start organizing. And you're going to all do it different. Some of you are put here on this earth to encourage other people. Well, quit holding back and start doing it. That's on God's mission. Some of you are good listeners. Did you know one of your great Christian witnesses can be a good listener? How many of you have ever sat down with someone and you wanted to really share your heart, and before you knew it, they totally dominated everything and blew it out of the water, and all you were hearing was all their stuff? Have you ever said anything just totally stupid, knowing that they wouldn't hear it? And they don't. And they just keep on going. And you ever had to share with somebody and you realize that they're already thinking of what they want to say instead of listening to what you're saying? I've been with counselors, you know, in all the counselor training and all that stuff. And you'd sit there and it became a game. They'd detach, and you can tell their eyes go somewhere else, you know, they're listless and they're gone. And you just start filling in the gaps with all kinds of stuff. And then, you know, you say things. And one day when I was snow skiing there in Texas off that big mountain, and that polar bear ran down there and it jumped, swam the river. Or they're sitting there and you're just going on, and then you pause and they don't know you paused. It's like somebody texting, going down the highway. They don't know anybody else is there. And then they realize you stopped, and they know that they're supposed to say something, and they don't know what to say because they didn't hear it. They didn't hear it at all. Friends, God wants us all to be good listeners. It's just some of you are better than others. We're all gifted different. There's about 18, 21 spiritual gifts. From exhorting to prophesying to mercy, you know, serving. You just read them, put them all the list together, and there's everybody here. When Jesus comes into your heart, he gives you spiritual gifts. He expects you to use them. And I made a note here, and I want to hit this real quick so we can move on and close. It's this. Many conflicts have started in many churches because people didn't understand their gifting was different from others, and they thought everybody ought to be like they were. Why isn't this church like blah, blah, blah? I've had that asked many times. Even around here, from people come and they'll say, well, why does this church do blah, blah, blah? That's your gift. But we have many gifted people here, and they're all different. I've even had questions about me. You know, how come you deliver it this way, do that this way? Why is your style that way? Because that's the way I'm gifted. And I can't be somebody else. And that's it. That's who I am. That's the way it is. And that's who you are. And so the thing here to always take note of is don't, and this will let you off the hook and others that love you and want to be your friend, don't expect people to have your same gift. They're going to do things different. Being of one mind means exactly that. It's just that we can be different but on the same mission. If I took a military unit in the field, I don't want all of them to be machine gunners. I don't want them all to be, the same thing. I want them to have variety. I want these guys to be good at different jobs. so we can accomplish our mission together. It takes somebody that can use, you know, I used to have it, and it's all different now with GPS stuff, but in the old days, we had a PRC 77, that's what you called it, and you had a radio man out there, and you had a long cord on it. Of course, you were the first target in the field, because the guy holding the phone, they knew was the one that was in charge of the deal, so everybody shot at him. But nonetheless, but that's the way it was, so you needed somebody who knew how to do that and keep that thing going, and somebody else over here knew how to pop out, you know, all these grenades and stuff, and then somebody over here and have machine guns, and then all your riflemen, and all the, and then, you know, your heavy team support. Other words, you didn't want them all the same. You want them gifted in different areas. You got out of there alive that way. And friends, in the church, it's the same way. We're on a battlefield right here. It's a spiritual battlefield. It's a war against the devil and all those who serve him. Right now in this country, we're warring against the devil's communism, Marxism, that's all over the place. It's a false religion. It's a lie out of hell. It doesn't work anywhere, but we're engaged in a huge battle with it. And we're going to have to be of one mind and stand up and take them on. And remember, it's the enemy you have to bind that's behind it. Okay, let me finish this. Secondly, sympathy. He says, sympathize with each other. I don't have to hit hard on all these. What is sympathy? It means compassion. It means, listen, when you look in the scripture and it says, be compassionate or sympathize, have sympathy towards one another. That word literally means to be able to weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. For me to have compassion for you, God wants me to feel your pain. And He also wants me able to feel your happiness. Let me drop this in. Some of you may have a hard time doing that because something's happened in your life and you have a lot of spiritual scar tissue and you can't feel like you used to feel. And friend, I'm going to ask you to open your heart to God and ask Him to go in there and do a spiritual surgery and remove that scar tissue so you can feel what other people feel again. So you can allow yourself to feel your own feelings. I know some of you have been hurt and hurt bad. Some of you have friends and family members that have been hurt, betrayed, run over by the truck of life. But listen. God commands it in His Word to have compassion, sympathy, and to do that, I have to feel with you. I not only just listen, I can feel, and you know that I feel. And we all are called to do that, regardless of your gift, whether you're an extrovert or an introvert. God wants you to feel because He feels your pain. He reminds me of this all the time in a message, but if it's important to you, it's important to Him. If you hurt, He hurts. If you're frustrated, God knows, and He gets frustrated for you. He wants to pull you back. So friends, whatever's hurt, whatever's built up, whatever's blocked this, whatever has crashed in on your life, now's the time to get over it, and you can't do it by yourself. Jesus Christ has to be allowed to cut it open and get it out. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. Experience life again. You're not living if you can't feel. And I know people, they can't feel anything for other people. I've had some tell me that. I don't care, Tony. I don't feel it. Sorry. And I've had them say this. I don't want to feel what they're feeling. Well, you're in complete denial of the Scripture. You are denying Jesus Christ's Word. And that can't be, folks. And we've all had stuff happen. Some more will happen. And we're going to have to let God do some healing work. Because this is what we're called to do, to rise above and to be the best. You're going to sympathize with each other. You know, you're going to have to love each other as brothers and sisters. That's the next thing we're coming to here. It's, you know, to have sympathy, it's allowing God's Spirit to cause me to feel what somebody else is feeling. And give me direction on how to reach into their heart and minister to them. If you can't do that, if you can't feel that kind of sympathy, ask God what's wrong with you. Be honest with Him. What's wrong, God? What happened? Where is the scar tissue built up? Because I need to feel again. And let me say this, one quick thing about this, because I've had this said to me many times when this subject comes up with people. They said, Tony, I don't want to feel because I don't want to be hurt again. Friend, being hurt is part of life. You can't love without getting hurt once in a while. The most loving man that ever walked the face of the earth and ever will got really hurt. But he didn't stop loving. Love invites hurt, but it also invites more blessing. Why are you afraid of being hurt? You shouldn't be belonging to yourself anyway. You belong to God. Hurt my feelings? My feelings really shouldn't be my feelings. Aren't they His? Doesn't He have control? I've had to come to this realization with this thing that they've been trying to get out. It's like I said that last week, but it's your body, God, your temple. That's not mine. Then He says to love. So you got, look, you see this order He's talking here? Be of one mind and then have some sympathy and compassion for each other. And then what? Be tenderhearted. Love each other as brothers and sisters. What love was He talking about? Phileo, that's a Greek word, means brotherly love. Eros, erotic, or agape. And He said, if you're going to build a church, you're going to have a great church, a community of believers, we call a church. We know we're the church. We'll meet together. He said, if you're going to have a great thing when you do that, you're going to have agape love. Because let me say this, and this is a repeated statement from up here, and I'm saying it again. If you don't have agape love, you're not going to be happy in any church. Why? Because everybody is stupid once in a while. And somewhere in church, sooner or later, somebody will be stupid, careless, unfeeling. It just happens. And if you're with that phileo stuff and just a brotherly love and you don't have the love of God secured in your heart, it's going to offend you. You're going to want to leave. You're going to get mad at God, get mad at the church. That's why so many people right to this day won't walk into church. They never realize, agape love doesn't notice that insult so much. It'll notice it, but not much. It goes on. It sees past it. It really doesn't matter what they think. Everybody with me? Even up here, I try so hard not to ever have the stupids, but, keep me prayed up because it could happen somewhere. I hope not, but let's pray it doesn't, but still. And if it does, just remember this message. I'll try hard to never have it, but it can happen like that, and you don't even realize it. Somebody will say something, somebody will do something, or somebody won't say or do something when they should have, and you'll get your feelings hurt, and you're just going to have agape love to say, these are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Have I ever been mad at my own brother or sister in my family? Yeah. Did you get over it? Yeah. Well, most of you. If you didn't, you need to. So get over it when the church meets together. We're just people, and we bring stuff in here. Look, I drive that, 90 miles, 92 miles, whatever it is. I drive that up there on that interstate, and there's just some days I really have to cut out a lot to get up here and not have that hanging on me. It's unbelievable. And I kid about it because it really is an issue, a big issue at times. And I know that God's saying, are you really going to carry that for somebody just passed you in a vehicle? So they're going 100 miles an hour. So they're on their cell phone. You just get out of their way. But really, they belong to me, Tony, not you. You just take care of you. And you do what I called you to do. And that applies to all of us. So let's look at this other one. Be tenderhearted. Sympathize, love, be tenderhearted, and keep along my attitude. What does tenderhearted mean? It ties so much into compassion. Do you know, let me give you this definition. Tenderhearted. So enveloped with God's love that we yield. So enveloped with God's love that we yield. And if you say yield what? Our ego. Our pride. our prejudice. And you know, most of all, what we as Christians have to yield to be tenderhearted? Our opinions. That choke you up, ma'am? It's okay. That's funny. How many of you really right now realize that your opinion has cost you a lot of things, a lot of hurt, a lot of friendships? Is it worth it? You know, your opinion about whatever, an opinion. And then we're called to be tenderhearted, and friends, there's times just let it go. Doesn't matter. You can sit around and share your opinions. I've seen people fight over opinions. I'm thinking, I wish they felt that passionate about the Word of God instead of what their opinion is about the weather or, you know, about politics today. Does anybody have any opinion on politics? Okay, never mind. Okay. Now that just about wrecked the whole message if I let that go. So anyway, so love, tenderhearted, and I'm closing. This is it. Last closing. Last statement. This enough anyway. There's more than I wanted, but that's what's in here. It says, keep an humble attitude. Ooh, man. So because he doesn't want you to pay evil back for evil and don't retaliate. What about humility? I'm giving you a definition here on humility. Yeah, there's, you know, you can look up all these different definitions. You can study your Greek and Aramaic and all that. But humility is yielding the spotlight to someone else. Why is that so hard? Humility is yielding the spotlight to someone else. It's a condition of the heart the Holy Spirit has broken, where it's not all about me anymore. Humility is letting somebody else have the center of attention because they need it. Humility, listen. The spirit of humility will allow you, someone, to tell their story, and you don't have to tell a bigger one, better one. Guys are real bad about that. I don't know if you ladies do that, but guys are horrible about it. If some guy comes in and his biggest story of his life is he caught this 3-pound bass, or he got a hole in one out there, don't always jump in and tell about the 2 hole in ones you've had or the 8-pound bass you got. Let them have their day and cheer for them. That's humility. Well, you can step back and you're thinking, there's bigger bass than that in my swimming pool. But not for them. Not for them. For them, that's the greatest thing ever. That hole in one, or just whatever it is. They got a new truck and you walk out and what they're calling a new truck is 8 years old. But for them, that's a new truck. And the spirit of humility says, yay, go. Good for you. No stories, no topping it off, no bigger deal. That's their day, their moment in the light. Let me ask you something. How many times is Jesus, even though we're here to glorify Him every moment of every day of our lives, how many times has Jesus Christ let you have center stage and didn't say a word? He does it with all of us. He's the one that deserves all the attention, all the affection, all the spotlight, and yet He will turn around and let you have your moment in the sun. He'll convict you. You know, and you would come back to your senses, but He'll let you, even Jesus, let you have your moment. And humility just says another person right now is more important than it. No. Mm-mm. It's just looking over there and saying they need this more than the rest of us. This is their day. This is their story. Humility, by the way, does not make you lie down and be a doormat. Humility makes you powerful. It makes you strong. It takes that ego and that pride and all that fleshly garbage that we carry around, and it puts it at the foot of the cross. Humility lets Jesus Christ be lifted up as the center and the throne of my life. It does. Proud people fall. People with humility stand strong. Because it's not all about them. It's about God. And they stand in God's strength. And whether anybody notices them or not, doesn't matter. Why? Because they know God notices them. And He's the one keeping the permanent book. He's the one that knows. That's what it's about. So you put all this together, and you know what it is? It's rising above. It's going to be the best. It's going for what's right and righteous and good and glorifying to God. He just works it all in two verses here. And he says, this is it. Let's bring this together. Be of one mind. Be compassionate, sympathetic, tenderhearted. And he goes through that list, you know, to love each other. And he wraps it up with saying, "And we got to be humble about it. Turn it over to God. Get out here in this world, this day, this week. Make a difference. Make a difference in somebody else's life. Go out of here. Go out of here, boy. Go out of this place today knowing that God's already made a difference in your life." One of the neat things about coming here, you get a lot of love in this place. And that makes a difference. That makes a difference. To walk in and people just love you because you're you? Where else do you get that? And I pray in the music, that I love that music. That's that last song we had there. Wasn't that neat? I favor that song. I don't know for sure why, but thanks, Ed, for picking that one. And he picks those songs, and he does a good job. He really does. Go home from this place and enjoy Father's Day. And if you can't enjoy Father's Day, enjoy God. He's your Father. Give Him a call and tell Him how much you love Him and appreciate Him. Our Father in heaven, really, truly, hallowed, honored, holy, set apart be your name from all, anything in heaven or earth. Hallowed be your name. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and help us not to worry so much about tomorrow. Forgive us our sins. So we forgive those who sin against us. And God, we need a great dose of humility and a dose of the filling of the Holy Spirit to forgive other people. But you wouldn't tell us to do it if you didn't give it. So we know you're doing it. Forgive us, Lord. Give us the grace to forgive others, the power to forgive and to love. Lead us not into temptation, that trial, testing. But deliver us, Father, from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from all the servants of the evil one. We pray, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord, for yours is the honor and kingdom, power and glory forever and ever. God's blessings, God's power, God's protection, God's provision upon each and every one of you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.